This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
Say And she took the name Palin because she said everybody from the cult of Palin are not only simpletons and prayer warriors, but they adopt the last name so that they can mentally kind of march and goose step in lock with everybody else. So Kara Palin will be here later, and we don't think Stan Coulter is going to make it, but we have a great playlist, a lot to cover, and we're going to start. Oh, and we have tunes for Sarah as well. But first, let us start with a great Who cover by the Ramones. This is entitled Substitute.
Entitled Count Up to Nine. dancing on the desert sands, when the desert whispered to me, "Dad, isn't this a shame? Things will never be the same."
Yeah.
called The Reverend Is In. It's on live Sunday nights at RadioVolta.org and archived at Radio4All.net and updates, details, links, goodies, and playlists always at ReverendBookburn.com. Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. To write to the Reverend for feedback to already done shows, input to forthcoming themed shows, or to send cartoons or music videos, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, or any reason except sending spam, unless it's the hilarious Jesus spam that continues to roll in to this day, write to RevBookBurn at sjcdc.org. Happy 420, everybody, and please remember that we are trying to be responsible for at least 10,000 more sales of AKA Tommy Chung, because that was the number of DVDs seized, in other words, stolen by the Gestapo people in the Drug Enforcement Agency. Hello to Jello Biafra and all of the folks at AlternativeTentacles.com. Please remember that the boycott of the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys remains. And hello to Dr. Susan Block, legendary sexologist and sex positive alternative to Dr. Laura. And you can check out her blogs at drsusanblock.com/blog. A big thank you to Pastor Rex at Murgatroyd Productions, Mr. Scott, Philadelphia Independent Media Center, Lava Zone, Radio for All, Baby Jesus Butt Plug, Hippie John, Mr. Z, and of course our in-house, whatever they do, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Craftist. This is a pioneering diverse presentation to push independent media to its utmost possibilities. Like George W. Numbnuts, war criminal, and Ron Ho, corporate stooge, Taliban wannabe, fetal worshipping, piss poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, Bush. God speaks through me. That was a reminder from the lower power to not forget to put on a show for the spies. It's time for open curtain exhibitionism and kink. The Lord commandeth ye. Okay, that was the recorded introduction that was usually used, well, a recording of the words usually used as an introduction for the first several years of The Reverend Is In, so we just recorded that, plus all the goofy sounds in the background, as an introduction to not rehash all that shit over and over again, which means you didn't hear the first set list of tonight's show, and that means you heard Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, who are on tour now doing The Terror of Tiny Town from the Audacity of Hype CD. Before Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, you heard Iggy Pop doing Repo Man from the soundtrack of Repo Man. Dream Aria did Flower Duet. Jana Perry did the La La song. From Sesame Street, you heard Count Up to Nine and that was especially for Sarah Palin, and started off with the Ramones doing Substitute. This is Reverend Book Burns' show. It's called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Sarah Palin, hand job. And we are not doing a show next Sunday night. However, we are returning in 2 weeks, meaning March 21st, for the theme Right to Privacy Day 2010. And in brief, in real brief, it's a celebration of Right to Privacy Day, the anniversary of which is the next day, March 22nd. And it was the Supreme Court case fought and won by Bill Baird from ProChoiceLeg.com that legalized birth control in 1972 for non-married people and set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade, pretty much legalizing abortion in 1973. So, yes, many, many thanks are due to him once again. And so we do our part on the Right to Privacy Day anniversary. And we will have a fantastic playlist to match the content. That is March 21st in 2 weeks. We are probably not going to get to do the Palm and Stroke Sunday show. However, because we usually get that one and not Easter, what we're going to do is we're going to skip Palm and Stroke Sunday and come back for Easter, what some people will do to get nailed. And that's always fun. And we'll do a 2010 edition of that as well. And of course, in April, also, the Reverend's birthday show. And of course, we're really gearing up for next January, flashing way ahead, which is going to be a 10th anniversary show. And Pastor Rex Cat, these guys, these wide awake and high functioning guys in here, and who party maybe just a little too much, Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptus are putting their heads together, for what it's worth, to work on how we should celebrate the 10th anniversary. And of course, input from you is, as always, greatly appreciated, as well as feedback, of course. All of that is to come. Let's see. We have two birthdays, which is Hippie John, who was recently in this area, but not on a show night. He showed up like right after the last show, the Teabaggers Pilot School show. And that it was great to see him for a while as he went through town. And his birthday is tomorrow, so we're going to play him a song. Of course, he's the ultimate cat freak. Hippie John and Pastor Rex Cat are the ultimate cat freaks that I know, and so we're going to play him the Pussycat song in the second set of tunes. His birthday is tomorrow, and just past days ago, the birthday of friend and book burner Ivy Blue. So happy birthday to both. And we announced this already, but we're going to announce it tonight again and on the next show. Dr. Lonnie Myers passed away at age 87. She was one of the early advocates for abortion rights, a friend of Bill Baird's, and a doctor and provider herself, as well as an advocate, and a co-founder of one of the big, more corporate, like, pro-choice orgs, like, since abandoned, and And she was nobody status in her final days with them. No help, of course. But vibrant to the end, her and writing to the end, writings, advocate not only for reproductive freedom, but for nudists and every kind of lifestyle and sexual orientation and individual rights as a whole. Lonnie Myers, Dr. Lonnie Myers, passed away very recently, and we're dedicating the Right to Privacy show in 2 weeks to her memory. And I think that's all the death that we have to report. So let's see, we announced the shows. And of course, check out the always updated reverendbookburn.com for themes. As you know, if anything really big comes up in the news, chances are we'll do a theme about it. Even if we have to postpone a show, a different show, or just drop a planned theme altogether. If there's something really big, or if a friend blows through town, then we'll do that. But as far as we know, the only shows coming up are the birthday show, Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, and Right to Privacy Day 2010. In a while, we will hear from Kara Palin, who claims to be Sarah Palin's tutor and a ghostwriter and much more, and wants to tell us about how Sarah allegedly wipes the handwriting off her hand. That is coming up. Be sure to check out two movies that are coming out there. Actually, one is out. One is Skin Trade, highly recommended, stars the Barbie twins, and it is an exposing of the fur trade and the worst atrocities that are done to animals. The film is called Skin Trade. It's either very newly out or about to be out. It's called Skin Trade. Very recommended. And coming out on DVD, Michael Moore's phenomenal Capitalism, a Love Story. Be sure to see both. Okay. We want to bring in Kara Palin, but she's not ready yet. So, let's see. We will talk about some very interesting people. Very interesting. We have talked about every person who presents themselves as an abstinent, sex negative, moral crusading, family values advocating, Christian supremacist, who are not only dipshits, but total hypocrites as well. Because they're not only living a lie among their loved ones, but they're living a lie to the entire nation, to the entire world. But far worse than that, if it was only living a lie, it would still be like the Tiger Woods case, which is, who the fuck cares? It's only a matter between the people directly involved. But in this case, it's different. When it's Senator David Diaperman Vitter paying sex workers at the late D.C. Madam's place of business with his VIP card for sex and his diaper fetish, and Senator Larry Craig having gay relationships with male strangers in public men's rooms. It's who the fuck cares, except for the fact that these assholes are passing laws and fighting for legislation, fighting for more oppression against every other fucking adult. They want censorship. They want to ban abortion and birth control. They want to be anti-gay, not just in their phony posturing, but in law, in policy. And, of course, they're further shit-canning the separation between church and state. And we've covered a lot of these assholes, from Pastor Ted Haggard, the primary Bush supporter from the evangelical whack job cultist circles in 2004, to Senator Larry Craig, to David Vitter, to John Ensign, to Mark Sanford, to a list so fucking big, it would take a whole show to read it. But now, there is a new one. And you know the Reverend just cannot resist a juicy scandal. And this one is especially funny because this particular buffoon is known for jumping up and down, screaming hysterically, spouting out his bigotry, his Christian supremacy, his moral values, on and all that absurd shit, with a special emphasis on his bigotry and hatred against gay people. And so you say, okay, he's a bigot and an asshole. What else is new? You know, there's thousands of them. But what makes this guy interesting is not just the fact that he is a Republican in the legislature, who is just one more Christian supremacist Republican in the legislature who hates gay people, but he just happened to be leaving a gay bar at 2 a.m. with another man, drives away and gets pulled over and busted for DUI. Well, the DUI is not funny because that's not cool, but it's funny that he's been exposed because of his DUI as being another hypocrite in the Republican Christian supremacist family values moral crusader crowd of people. And in addition to the hypocrisy, the question is raised yet again, how fucking mentally ill must this loser be to have that magnitude of an internal conflict? Yes, America is a culture, and that word is used loosely, but it is a culture in which sexual schizophrenia is rampant. People love it. People hate it. Oh no, I never do that. Oh no. No, not me. I have no libido. I don't fuck anybody. I don't jerk off. No, no, no. That's other people. But in this sexually schizophrenic culture, it must be even more mental turmoil for a guy like Roy Ashburn to be this holy Christian Taliban crusader and have this whole secret life of being who he hates. So we want to encourage any mental health interventionists who may be in the residential area of Roy Ashburn to not only be prepared to counsel him on about driving drunk, but also to counsel him about his internal mental conflict that must be peaking on top of peaking by being like all of the gay people that he hates and preaches bigotry against. And I'm starting to think the louder somebody preaches against something, the more likely it is that they are that. So if they don't like sex workers, if they don't like gays, if they don't like the sexually wild and the sexually free, the sexually expressive, there's a few cum stains in the closet, and it's not only their own. So we're having a good laugh here. We have all weekend at Roy Ashburn, the closet case. We're wondering, you know, if Roy Ashburn was truly straight, he'd probably be on the congressional floor saying something like, "I want to ban birth control and abortion and pictures of the vagina. It looks like Frankenstein's scars, and I want to ban straight marriage and all Lady Gaga concerts." But anyway, Roy Ashburn, get mental health like most of your peers and fellow teabaggers and all that kind of silly shit. We're going to have Kara Palin, the alleged tutor and ghostwriter for Sarah Palin, as she claims, on after the second set of music to deal with Sarah Palin's hand and mouth skills and the kinds of things you want to know about. And let's see, what are we playing? Well, we're not starting with the Pussycat song, but we're going to play Pussycat for Hippie John in honor of his birthday tomorrow. But let's start off with a good 420 song. This is Marilyn Manson doing The Dope Show.
The cancer shallow.
Cops and queers.
good-looking models.
Hey, this is Deborah
and Keith
from the band Davey, and you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Friendly little cat. My pussycat was sitting out on the front step. Sat so long, poor just a friendly little cat. Friendly little cat.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am fed up with all of the shenanigans around here. I'm sick of all the talk of healthcare reform, advocating for the common person, and advocating for the rights of other people and animals that these bleeding hearts on this show insist on doing. And now they're going to play a song from a benefit CD for the Animal Liberation Front entitled This is the ALF. From England, this is a track from that CD by Crass entitled Sentiment.
No, I won't give up, mate.
And if 30 million people a year are dying of hunger or of hunger-related diseases?
No, I still won't give up, mate.
While people starve elsewhere, 9/10 of the grain grown in the United States is fed to animals so that we can eat meat. The result is that we feed pigs better than many third world countries feed people.
A lot of them should get enough food, shouldn't they? What do they spend their money on?
If they starve, they starve, innit? It's up to them. It's the way they put themselves, innit?
Thank you.
heard the Circle Jerks doing Paid Vacation. Before that, Flipper did Ha Ha Ha. And both of those tracks are from the 1981 compilation put together by Jello Biafra and the AlternativeTentacles.com label people. Before that, you heard the Proletariat doing Religion is the Opium of the Masses. Before that, Crass did Sentiment from the Animal Liberation Front Benefit CD of various artists entitled This is the ALF. Before that, Elvis Hitler did Green Haze Parts 1 and 2. The Distillers did Ask the Angels and Old Scratch. And Artist Unknown did the Pussycat Song, which went out to Birthday Boy Hippie John. Davey, the band Davey, did the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is In promo. Another Artist Unknown did Below Me and started off with Marilyn Manson doing The Dope Show. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. Tonight's theme is Sarah Palin Hand Job. And we've played several songs with her in mind, most songs with her in mind. But also, there were so many freakazoids in the news that we had to pay attention to them too, including homophobic legislator Roy Ashburn, busted for DUI after leaving a gay club with a gay man, which has to be the funniest story. Not so funny is a guy who is now dead, who shot two people at the Pentagon. And what makes this story weird and newsworthy is the fact that whenever somebody goes off the deep end, the teabaggers, who are the producers of like a vast majority, like 99% of these people who go off, or they're loosely associated, like there's strong ties with the anti-abortion movement, especially the violent and terrorist wings of the movement. Scott Roeder, the terrorist who killed Dr. Tiller, the racist white supremacist who shot people at the Holocaust Museum, and of course the teabagger, the undeniable teabagger who flew a plane into an IRS building. And now there's a guy who's not totally a teabagger, but he's one of these right-wing people who call themselves libertarians. And upon closer examination, the libertarians mostly stand for really deranged and fucked up things. They don't mean hands off the common person. Some of them may believe that, but when they say libertarian, or even when they use words like freedom and liberty, they don't mean it for people. They mean it for mega corporations and their propaganda masters, like free market libertarians and hands off laissez-faire capitalism, etc. And the kind of stuff that the total whack job Ron Paul stands for. The free market will take care of healthcare and global warming and every other catastrophic problem, even though actually it is the cause of all of these problems. So anyway, this guy's a libertarian whose rhetoric is along the lines of the libertarians and Ron Paul. And the teabaggers are saying, oh, he must have been an Obama fan, or he must have been a liberal or a lefty. But once again, they are full of shit. So what can you say about it? But he was in the news, I guess, like a little less than a week ago. And so in the ever-escalating bullshit wars, he's painted out as something he is not. He is actually from the right wing slash libertarians slash Ron Paul freakazoids. So not all of them are, of course, homicidal. But the rhetoric is is such that you can see some of their least stable in a segment of the population where almost all of them are unstable. The least stable out of that going off and doing something that is just unthinkable and really whacked. Okay, tonight, without further ado, let us bring out Kara Palin, and I'm really interested in this whole thing about even taking on Palin's last name. Put the headphones on. Right, that big thing that looks like a well-hung male porn star's penis is your microphone. Now, say anything you want, and you're completely uncensored. You have absolute freedom of speech, possibly for the first time in your life. Yeah. Headphones are optional. You don't have to suck on it, just speak into it. Okay, you're not at Palin's house. Okay. Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptus look alive now. Yes, these guys are rejects as extras from the Cheech and Chong movies. So don't be frightened. Okay, folks, here is Kara Palin. Kara, why don't you start by talking about the fact that you actually took on her last name and call yourself Palin.
Well, when I started, I had to be programmed to think exactly like Sarah.
Okay, well, that sounds like a hell of a job. Why was that?
Well, they wanted me to be programmed to have a Sarah Palin-like brain because they wanted a book written from day one when she became a vice presidential candidate. And so they decided that I should be Kara Palin, and I had to be all kinds of trained and briefed on everything there was about her, including what others said and wrote about her.
What was this training like?
Oh, I even had to watch that horrible movie that Larry Flint made called Who's Nailin' Palin, just so I could even get that side of her character down pat.
Okay, so you went through all this training and you're conditioned to, or you're programmed to become Sarah herself as much as possible. This was so that you could write a book?
Yes, I was instructed to teach her English, how to speak, how to write, how to use crayons, how to write on your hand, and mostly to write the book when I wasn't busy tutoring her and teaching her public speaking.
Okay, so are you saying then that you wrote the book that came out in her name?
Yes, that's right. I wrote Going Rogue, and I even named the book. And I didn't tell Sarah, but actually, Going Rogue is British slang for unprotected anal sex.
Yeah, we knew that. Actually, Lisa Ann told us that. She's the one that played Sarah in Who's Nailin' Palin, and had a great laugh over that. So you write a book called Going Rogue, which is actually English slang for unprotected anal sex, and you actually consented to your work being credited to the ever-brainy Sarah Palin.
Yes, that's correct. And it was just something that was like an inside joke. And we told Michael Steele of the Republican Party that we were calling the book Going Rogue, and we told him what it really meant, and he had still not gotten over the teabagger's name. And and now when we talk about going rogue, Sarah blushes as if she's trying to forget about something, and she says, "Don't even speak Michael Steele's name. I'll turn beet red, especially if my husband is looking, and then I will be remembering about when I was going rogue with him."
So Sarah was kind of confiding in you that she went rogue with Michael Steele. That's interesting.
Yes, and she was proud of the fact that she, as she put it, had Michael Steele wrapped around her finger, and that she wrapped her fingers around Michael Steele as well. Of course, she talks about how much she loves hunting from an airplane. She just adores aerial hunters and loves being the only woman on some of those hunting trips. And I guess I can tell you.
Oh, tell us. Say anything.
Well, she was going rogue on some of those aerial hunting trips because those guys were non-functional, which is one of the reasons why they are hunters. And so she decided that she was going to get them functional all over again. So that's when she started practicing on the hand trick.
Yeah, what is the deal with the hand? I mean, she goofed on President Obama for supposedly, I mean, the only source for this is those Fox assholes who are the least credible source of information of anybody, but saying that Obama only uses teleprompters, and then she started this thing about writing on her hands. What is that about?
Well, to Sarah, she only understands very basic words that are on a grammar school level. And so she likes to write the notes on the hands, but more importantly, she likes how to get them off. And this started during the McCain campaign, where she would use her hand to smear the handwriting off. And she said that even after poking and stroking and it moving in a jerking-like fashion, said the handwriting didn't come out until it was assisted with the lotion. And I'm not sure what she meant by that, but she would say that she would give a speech and then clean her hand, and that the lotion made her sticky, but it got the handwriting off.
You gotta be kidding. With McCain?
Well, McCain wasn't functional either, but he was more into role play.
Well, at the risk of too much information and totally grossing out every book burner out there, what kind of role play happened between John McCain and Sarah Palin?
Well, it was more like there were no sex acts. McCain's kind of role play was more like wearing diapers, the way Senator Vitter used to at the D.C. Madam's place, like indulging in his diaper fetish, and I heard he was really, really into baby powder.
Okay, I'm looking around, nobody's hurling yet. Alright, so Sarah and McCain would roleplay, including indulging in his diaper fetish, similar to Senator David Vitter's.
Yes, that's true. And then she loved the fame, she loved the acclaim, and when there were people as crazy and delusional as she was, she said, I gotta jump on that. And that's what she did, and that's when she became a kind of mother figure for the teabaggers. She, first thing she said to me the first time she went to one of their meetings was, this is like having my very own brown shirts, and they are just so inspiring, just like a very inspiring movie I saw about Nazi Germany. They knew how to enforce morals and fatherland security and have a good time. And now I felt like I had my very own brown shirts.
This is really picking everybody around here sick. And just a slight bit of a buzzkill, but that's okay. All right, so we won't talk about her brown shirts or McCain's role playing. Let's move on to, well, this is also gross, but we must cover this. Sarah practically yelled jihad at one guy who used the word retard. And I don't even think he was talking about her kid. I think he was just using the word, and she just used that as an opportunity to jump as an advocate for people with developmental disabilities. And I have a history as somebody who works in social work, who's worked in the past with people with developmental disabilities, and it was like, okay, it was hard to disagree with that, you know, so she even sounded slightly honorable for 5 minutes, and then completely turns around and says it was okay when Rush Limbaugh did the exact same thing, and she ends up complimenting him. What was going on, and this is very recent, when she decided it was okay for Rush Limbaugh to diss people with developmental disabilities?
Well, Sarah doesn't really give a shit. In fact, everybody kind of makes fun of Trig and her family, and Sarah herself does. And mostly has other people take care of him, either me or somebody else, if I'm not tutoring her or telling her how to speak. So, but she likes Rush. She thinks he's funny. And she feels sorry for him because he has to use Viagra, which everybody knows about anyway, since he brought a whole large bunch of it on his third world vacation on the island that has more sex work than any other. And so she feels sorry for him. He needs the Viagra to even function. And she decided they could help each other out, you know. So she kind of practiced on him, and with their hand smearing and trying to make lotion and getting the writing off her hand in that way. And I think that's supposed to be a secret, though. That, yeah, I'm reading my notes here. They're on my hand. Yes. Nobody is to know about smearing my hand on Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, well, we wouldn't want you to break your confidence. Only tell us additional information that you feel is not breaking your confidence. Although you told us a lot of really great information. Now, is Bristol Pollen the poster girl for the billion-dollar abstinence-only education campaign of Bush's? Is she going to be on a reality show that deals with teen pregnancy?
Oh, yes, that's true. And even though Sarah really doesn't like reality, she likes the idea of Bristol being on the show to talk about abstinence, because after all, who better to talk about our very successful national abstinence campaign than a young girl who got knocked up and had a baby during the presidential campaign. So yes, this just will be used as a highlight of the success of depriving people of real sex education and spending billions on the abstinence-only campaign in Alaska and in the nation at large.
Okay, I know that it's limited what you can talk about, but we have to try to find out now that we're on the show. And we have you here. Do we know who Trigg's father is? Or is that a secret?
Well, it's not something anybody has tried to figure out. Like, people have counted backwards from the day he was born and tried to narrow it down to just a small number of men. We know it's not John McCain's, and we know it's not that that really big psycho teabagger, but that, you'll have to invite me back again if I ever find out who baby daddy really is.
Okay, well, since you are here, let's just move on to a possibly sensitive subject. David Letterman. Now, she had that war of words with him. She didn't like him making fun of her. She tried to get him thrown off the network. And she's pretty much hostile and aggressive and threatening to anybody who says anything about her, especially if they make fun of her and implement humor. So, what was your inside view of what was happening with David? I mean, how did she come to hate him so much? I mean, his jokes were funny, but I guess not to her point of view.
Well, mostly jealousy, because David, even though he's a little older than Sarah, he still gets a lot of action, a lot more than she does. And although I'm not sure about that, but she says he gets more than she does. And so she got jealous of the girls that were seeing David Letterman. And that made her even more hostile. And I guess she has a little bit of borderline personality disorder in her, because she then developed like a love-hate situation with Mr. Letterman, and she would get more and more jealous of the other women in his life, and then she would start demanding that he allow her to use him as a way of smearing the writing off of her hand.
You're saying she wants him.
Oh, does she want him? She has described multiple scenarios, more scenarios than you could see in a porn film, of what she has visualized in her own head as doing with Mr. Letterman. What do you
do? Well, now she is being on television herself, being on, well, it's not really a new news channel. It's the biggest outlet of propaganda since Pravda in the former Soviet Union. She's with Fox News. If you can believe they have the balls and eggs to use the word news. She's on Fox News. And how is that going?
Well, they don't use a laugh track the way Leno did, but she did find her place, and it's good for me as a tutor to have her there, because this is good for her language development, as well as her geography lessons, and, of course, her speaking and command of the English language. And so there's been progress. So even if she's getting even further removed from reality, as she was when she started seeing angels and creating prayer warriors, I see Fox News as an opportunity for her to start obtaining a reasonable education.
I think we got the idea about the hand smearing and how she makes the lotion and which guys she does that with and how she gets the handwriting off, although I imagine her hands are pretty sticky by the end of the night. But what is the thing about the mouth, since there was all this bragging about her mouth work?
Well, Sarah has always said to me that her mouth has such a talent, and at first I thought she meant speaking, but she says that she really knows how to bring out the moment of truth, and if at the time she's through, that there is just an explosive climaxing load of knowledge. And she said to me, just ask Beck and O'Reilly. That's how the information leaked about my getting the vice presidential nomination in the first place. It wasn't when that old man called me.
Okay, that really is too much information, and that mental imagery is going to lead us to have nightmares. However, I want to thank you for being on the show, telling us about Sarah Palin's hands and mouth, actually, and for that totally insider's view, and congratulations to you for writing a book. We won't give her the credit since she hasn't learned how to write yet. And thank you very much for enlightening the book burners out there.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm going to go over there and sit in between those two guys. And I think I can get them to look more alive.
If you can do that, you are guest of the month. All right, thank you very much. That was Kara Palin, and we don't have Stan Coulter here. He was going to talk about Ann Coulter's transgendered operation and explain how he discovered that Ann Coulter's name is actually rectal noun re-scrambled. But we'll hear about Ann Coulter's Adam's apple on some other night. Just one final thing I forgot to cover earlier, which is that, well, not the D.C. Madam, because she's dead, but the Manhattan Madam, who is still alive, Kristen Davis, is running for governor of New York. And what's interesting is that she's running on a platform of legalizing marijuana and legalizing or decriminalizing sex workers in New York. And I believe also sending people who are into real drugs to treatment instead of prisons. And actually, her ideas are miles ahead of all of the other people who are running. And her name name is Kristen Davis. We put some links about it at reverendbookburn.com, and we're going to keep you informed about that as news unfolds. Let's get back to the music. We're going to go over time. The Let Them Eat Jelly Beans compilation from alternativetentacles.com in the background. Let's play a song for Sarah by the Subsonics entitled I Made You a Clown.
Yeah.
George W. Bush and I approve this message. It's not easy to be the laugh of the nation. However, I was always comforted by Sarah, who told me about her own drug use that was almost as funny as mine. And she told me that she could make it a deterrent if she did drugs and went out in public and spoke to the craziest group she could find, like the teabaggers, as a way of teaching her kids not to do drugs and make babies. But Sarah and I also agree on the sanctity of the fetus, and therefore I want to congratulate her on having Trig, whoever the daddy is, and for being a grandma. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. And now, we're going to play a song for the baby Palins. Thank you.
This is Dr. Lovell Holmes, and I want to talk about our sacred tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Republican Virginia State Delegate Bob Marshall, who said this
disabled children are God's punishment for abortion. You are the runner-up to Asshole of the Week. You lost the first hands. We need Cheech from Cheech and Chong from one of those movies.
Oh, shit, man! What ought to warn you when you do one of those, man?
That's better. And the other runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Representative Trent Franks, who makes statements not about disabilities, but about race and abortion as a part of the anti-choice propaganda and manipulation campaign. They have actually insulted the intelligence of every person in communities of color by making spectacularly stupid remarks about Margaret Sanger that are false, and that early efforts were for racist reasons to allow birth control and abortion and endless bullshit. But that was to be topped by Representative Trent Franks, who said, I'm not making this up, abortion is more devastating to blacks than slavery. Well, you don't even need me to tell you why and how many ways and how intensely that makes this guy an asshole. So we'll just say that Representative Trent Franks is the semi-finalist and runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that leaves the very special recipient, the person who can outshine even the extreme. Oh, there's one more runner-up. Representative Patrick McHenry, who is not only an asshole, but an idiot, who is proposing, I'm not making this up, to put Ronald Reagan on the $50 bill. The guy who began the avalanche that actually fucked the economy of the entire nation. And, of course, one of the ultimate terrorists of the 80s, massacring hundreds of thousands of civilians through Contra wars and covert wars throughout the 80s, caused homelessness, ignored AIDS. They want that motherfucker on the $50 bill. He should be named for, like, a toxic waste dump, you know, or a homeless shelter or something that actually fits him. Representative Patrick McHenry, also runner-up to Asshole of the Week. Now, who could possibly be a recipient who outranks even these runner-ups for Asshole of the Week? Well, tonight, the special recipient, again, now get the fart sounds. Thank you.
Cheech. Oh, shit, man! I gotta warn you when you do one of those, man!
Last time. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is Jim Bunning. You knew this was coming. Jim Bunning from Congress. This loser, asswipe, former major league pitcher, now a Republican congressman, whose single-handed actions delayed a 30-day extension in unemployment benefits for thousands and thousands of people. And his delay tactics caused thousands of people to lose their benefits immediately. And there are just no words for how much of an asshole this guy is. So he was a part of the party that fucking destroyed the economy in the first place. And then the last survival mechanism, the final safety net that these people have with unemployment benefits. Now countless people were fucked out of that thanks to Jim Bunning. Jim Bunning, you are asshole of the week. Alright, now let's kill the fart sounds. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare, the 2009 version. From Communique, you heard Carrie Ann. Stoned Age did Zombie, a Cranberries cover. Before that, you heard Rev Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, you heard from the soundtrack of Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, Find It. And from Rockabye Baby, which is, this is a real thing, from rockabyebabymusic.com, like baby lullaby renditions of songs. This one is a whole CD of all Stone songs, and but they do others, including Nirvana and Green Day and even harder bands. And from Rockabye Baby, the Stone CD, you heard Paint It Black. Sounds of Kaleidoscope did Sunset, and started off with the Subsonics doing I Made You a Clown. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Sarah Palin Handjob, and we hope we answered your questions. And thanks to our guest Kara Palin from the Cult of Palin and Prayer Warriors. And there was more shit to cover tonight, but we just can't get to it. So, let's see. Write to the Reverend at Rev Bookburn, no period, Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. Updates and links and goodies and details and all that shit, and every playlist, always, at reverendbookburn.com. The YouTube channel is at youtube.com/RevBookburn. On MySpace.com, it's MySpace.com/ReverendBookburn. On Facebook, first name, The Rev, last name, Bookburn. And on the wall tab, there's a link to the Reverend Bookburn fan site. The show is expected to be uploaded at a half a week or a week if there are no technical difficulties at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net. And of course, a big, big thank you to our friend, Bookburner, co-producer from afar, Pastor Rex Cat. And the next show is going to be on March 21st. And that will be Right to Privacy Day 2010, celebrating the Supreme Court victory of Bill Baird of ProChoiceLeague.org, legalizing birth control in 1972 for non-married people and setting the primary legal precedent for the legalization of abortion, more or less, in 1973 with the Roe versus Wade decision. After that, the Easter show, the birthday show, and in May, we'll do our part to celebrate National Masturbation Month. Let's play a final track and get out of here. This is by the great band called Spore, and the track is entitled Fear God. Good night.
Would Jesus allow a woman to run her hands all over him and kiss him when the Bible teaches him?
blessed your hearts for this message. Help us get it out. People need to know the truth in all denominations.
Let's pray that millions may hear the other side through this album. Our address is on the back cover. Write for more albums. Have them sent to your friends or give them this address that they may have this message in their home.
above the plane of God. Never seen the likes of me. Why, I'm the biggest thing since World War III, girl. My name is Mark, I'm on fire, I'm the match, I'm the pyre, I'm the voodoo black musician, priest, why, I'm the greatest thing since World War III, girls.
You think he's acting, but he's not. His name is Mark, thanks a lot.
My name is Mark, thanks a lot. I'm the power Solomon used on lock. I am the pillar, I am the snake. I'm the beat that makes you shake. I am the killer, I am the source. And you will worship me, of course. I'm the oracle, I'm the seer, the wit. There is no question that I am it. Hey, girls.
Thanks a lot. He looks so cool, but he's hot.
My name is Mark, thanks a lot. My name is Mark,
thanks a lot.
My name is Mark.
Boys and girls.
Hello, Uncle Mikey.
Can you tell the difference between good and evil? Is this man being good to the cat?
Say cheese.
Good or evil?
Gosh. We're here. Hey, boss, wake up. We're over hometown. Hey, boss, can you tell the difference between good and evil?
Say, try to realize there is no longer black or white, good or evil. We've evolved beyond that.
But Uncle Mikey says we should
we
know the difference.
We all must have our own personal view of right and wrong.
But is what we are doing evil?
Of course not. Remember, Zip, evil spelled backwards is live. And we all want to do that?
Oh, yeah. But Uncle Mikey says that,
So until next week, boys and girls, goodbye and be good.
Goodbye, Uncle Mikey.
Zip. No Santa Claus, no Tooth Fairy, and no Uncle Mikey.
You are a hallucination sliding down my soul. Just a figment of a tired heart. You are a hallucination sliding down my soul. Just a figment of a tired heart. Well, I'm not so glad to see you exist that way. I'm not so glad to see you exist that way.
But I don't wanna be some broken dream on your way to hell. I don't wanna be some broken dream on your way to hell.
I'm not glad to see you exist that way. I'm really not glad to see you exist that way.
But I don't wanna be some broken dream on your way to hell. I don't wanna be some broken dream on your way to hell.
I'm not so glad.
I don't just call see you. And the music
I'm not
motherfucking
so grumpy.
Really, I'm not glad to see you.
I don't want you to
see you exist that way.
No,
Sliding down my heart.
In yellow shoes, I get the blues. Though I walk the streets with my plastic feet. With blue velvet trousers makes me feel pink. There's a kind of stink about blue velvet trousers. In my paisley shirt, I look a jerk. And my turquoise waistcoat is quite out of sight. But oh, oh, my haircut looks so bad. The watch, black watch, my watch, with a black face and a date in a little hole. And all along, it's what I've got, it's what I wear, it's what you see, it must be me, it's what I am.
Yeah.